Hello everyone, and thanks for joining today's webinar from our Onapsis Research Lab together with Flashpoint. My name is Cecile Giloy and I will be managing today's session. Before we get started, I have some housekeeping notes for today. First, I want to point out the questions module within the ON24 platform. We welcome you to enter your questions at any point during the presentation, and if time allows, we will answer whatever questions we can at the end of the session. You can always adjust the size of the media player and slides on your end to make them bigger or smaller depending on your preference. And finally, please note that this session is being recorded and we'll share a link to this session after we wrap up today. Now I'm going to pass it over to our presenters. With us today, we have JP Paris-Echegoyen, the Chief Technology Officer and Head of the Onapsis Research Lab, and Christian Rankin, Senior Strategic Advisor at Flashpoint. Pulling from Onapsis' expertise in SAP cybersecurity and Flashpoint's depth of threat intelligence, this discussion will show what we uncovered, our insights, and specific recommendations. And with that, I will hand it over to our presenters today.
All right, thanks so much. All right, let's jump to the speakers. JP, I'll go first and then hand it off to you. So, yeah, hey everyone, it's really great to be presenting today. I'm really, really excited to be here. My name is Christian Rankin. I'm a senior strategic advisor here at Flashpoint. I've been in cyber intelligence for about 9 years now. I was an intelligence analyst for about 4, doing dark web analysis, campaign tracking, RFI writing, kind of the whole works of it. And then most recently, before coming here to Flashpoint, I was at CrowdStrike, or as the team lead of the strategic threat advisor team there, and also the global technical lead of one of their intelligence products, Falcon Intelligence Recon. Here at Flashpoint, I've been here for coming up on a year, and again, very great to be here. JP, I'll hand it off to you.
Awesome. Thanks, Christian. JP here, CTO and one of the founders of Onapsis. I've been focusing on the cybersecurity for ERP applications for the past 17 plus years. I've been doing pretty much everything around consulting, penetration testing, vulnerability research, with a strong focus on the ERP technology over the past years, and working with our Onapsis research labs, doing specific research for ERP technology, and also doing threat intelligence for ERP applications. So honored to be here with Christian presenting on the research that we did, covering threat landscape for ERP applications. Continuing with the introductions, I wanted to introduce, for those of you who are not familiar with the Onapsis and the Onapsis Research Labs, we have a team that is dedicated to research around ERP technologies and ERP threat landscape. So what this team is doing is continuously analyzing technology that are building blocks for ERP applications. And these are running financial systems, HR applications, backend processes, supporting operations for most of the largest organizations in the world. So this team is responsible for over 1,000 submissions to ERP vendors, SAP and Oracle included. And we have been contributing with certs around the world, including CISA, contributing for 6 CISA alerts, and really presenting at security conferences and really raising awareness around threats and vulnerabilities on ERP applications. In this case, we're going to be focusing on SAP technology and SAP applications. But yeah, this is the team that has contributed the most to cybersecurity for specifically for SAP applications and in general for ERP applications. And with that, I'll pass it to Christian on your side.
Thanks, JP. Yeah, so as I mentioned, I'm with Flashpoint. So Essentially, what Flashpoint does is, right, we're a intelligence provider. So we do physical security intelligence, cyber intelligence, and also vulnerability intelligence. So because of the cyber and vulnerability intelligence aspect of Flashpoint, we thought that this combination of Anapsys and Flashpoint would work out quite well because of the intelligence we have on specific specific threat groups talking about threats to SAP. And the way that we do that is, as you can see those numbers on the right, right? We're collecting a lot of data through a lot of kind of those hard to reach different criminal forums. So about two thirds of Flashpoint is actually dedicated to either intelligence or product, meaning that the investments that we make are heavily focused towards getting those hard to reach collections. So a lot of what we're going to be talking about today isn't just kind of what the threats are to SAP systems that JP is going to be talking about, but also kind of validating it with the Flashpoint intelligence collection apparatus so we can actually see different cyber criminals talking about it and giving you data points on that.
Awesome. Thank you, Christian. So moving forward, this is the agenda of the content that we have for you today. We're going to talk about the research, some of the context, and the key highlights, and then we'll jump into specific data points and examples that we are able to observe and obtain during this research. And we'll close with recommendations, some resources, and next steps for you to take back to your organizations. So before jumping to the results of this research, I wanted to provide some context on the why and the how of this research. This is something we did together, combining Anapsys experience and expertise around cyber threats targeting SAP applications, SAP vulnerabilities, SAP threats, with the experience and data and the analytical capabilities of the Flashpoint platform and the Flashpoint analysts, right? So basically combining understanding of threats and vulnerabilities to SAP with extensive data and extensive intelligence collected over years to understand, okay, let's see how the threat landscape has been evolving over the past 4 years, including 2020 all the way up to end of 2023. And on these, we ran queries and we analyzed data coming from a lot of different sources. Here you have some examples, and I'm sure Christian can provide you different examples and details on the different types of data that is collected, but we run basically queries and analysis on criminal forums, chat sites, those sites where ransomware gangs are advertising and exposing their incidents, and many, many other sources. Some of them easier to get, some others are very, very hard and really involve a lot of experience and expertise and intelligence. That is what Flashpoint provides. So just wanted to give you this context. It's basically combining our strong points and our experiences and expertise to be able to come out with a clear understanding of the past 4 years. Anything from your side, Christian?
Yeah, you know, the four bullets here, the criminal forums, chat sites, ransomware incidents, ransomware group sites, and chats, kind of, as we were doing this research, you know, I learned a lot about just how big and prevalent SAP is. And because of the prevalence of SAP, you get a lot of different threat actors talking about it, right? So pretty much what we're doing is we're searching through, right, those four bullets amongst a few others, just looking for, you know, who's talking about different threats to SAP. And you can think about kind of in two ways. One, it's using SAP to explore the vulnerabilities within SAP systems to be able to get in and continue operations from an e-crime perspective or nation state in some cases. And then the other is also just the sheer kind of volume and fidelity of data that organizations are housing with their SAP system. So you kind of have it as kind of the bank vault that different e-criminals or nation states are trying to get into, but then also given what SAP systems hold, also it's kind of given an understanding of kind of what those vaults are actually holding. So it's kind of those two different criteria that I came to understand as doing research with this with JP.
Thank you, Christian. Absolutely. And I've learned a lot, and we learned a lot as well by navigating and going through the data and the data points and the intelligence as well. But jumping straight into the highlights, well, there are a couple of points to make here. First is attackers are coming from multiple different types. When we think about the spectrum of potential attackers, right, all the way from non-sophisticated or hacktivists, like all the way to APT and more highly sophisticated ones, going through cyber criminals, ransomware gangs, well, we've seen examples of many different types of threat actors discussing and targeting these applications, right? And these threat actors use everything and anything they have to target applications, both on new vulnerabilities, misconfigurations, weaknesses. The good thing is that on this session, on this webinar, we're not going to be discussing any zero day, any vulnerability that you need to go and rush your organization to patch, which in the past we have been, let's say, providing feedback and information about very new vulnerabilities, very recent, very critical vulnerabilities, because that's part of what the Onassis Research Labs does. In this case, that's not what we are presenting. We're going to be discussing threats that in most cases have been present for years and known for years, and there's patches available, and best case is on your organizations you already addressed most of them, if not all of them. Also ransomware, in the intersection between ransomware and SAP, we've seen increase as well on incidents, and we've seen ransomware binaries being evolving to understand how SAP processes and services work and to be able to operate properly on top of SAP applications. And last but not least, SAP exploits having been increasing in terms of the price. And to give you an example, and that's when we start getting into the numbers, the actual numbers, there's been a 400% increase on the price of SAP exploits from 2020 all the way to very recent data point in April 2024 of from going from 50K all the way to 250K. And while this is the price of an SAP remote command execution exploit, it's a good proxy to understand what value do threat actors put on being able to compromise an SAP application. And that's a significant increase over this time frame. But continuing on the raw numbers, on the data points themselves, I mentioned that ransomware has been increasing. Well, if we look at the sites where ransomware gangs advertise and expose compromises and compromised data, going through those, we have seen from 2021 to 2023, an increase of 400% on the incidents that included SAP applications and SAP data. But also going over these petabytes of information of conversations, discussions, cyber criminal forums, chat sites, and a huge number of different sources that Flashpoint provides, indexes and analyzes. If we look specifically for SAP vulnerabilities or exploits, there's been a 490% increase on those mentions, but also looking at SAP cloud and web services, those very specific services that are identifiable by very unique paths that indicate SAP technology or web technology, well, that also grew 220% from 2020 to 2023. So all of these are data points coming straight from the data that we were able to analyze, and that all show significant increase over this time period. And this is also consistent with what we are seeing on the field, because OnApsis also performs incident responses. We are called upon organizations being affected by a breach or a cyber incident. When it involves SAP technology, we are the organization that they go to. And 2023 was a record year, and we've seen significant activity, threat activity. And we wanted to really understand, hey, how does it correlate to the evolution and being able to provide raw data and hard data around this? So in terms of the most relevant and most important highlights, well, these threats are evolving, these threats are growing, and it's important for us to stay on top of this. Christian, anything from your side on this?
Yeah, I'll kind of take a different angle with this. So, you know, as JP just said, you know, 400% increase, 490, 220, 400%. To kind of give an explanation as to why, you can think of that as also those threats scaling with the size of just the SAP technology. So one thing that really kind of crystallized this for me while we were going over this was, for example, SAP works with 99 of the top 100 largest companies in the world, and they have about 400,000 different customers doing about, of those customers, they estimate that that's about, they've done their estimations, 46 trillion in commerce from enabling that amount of work within their customer base. So when you have this giant that has such important data that's kind of has this ubiquity amongst some of the largest companies in the world, it is going to come with some numbers like this, right? Threat actors are going to realize what these SAP applications are housing and how important it is to be able to get specific exploits, to be able to target them because of the return on investment that the threat actors are expecting if they were to actualize those different exploits and ransom according to the data that was stolen. So that's kind of other way around it, right? Kind of the why there of why these numbers are growing so much. Of course, there's also other aspects. You know, geopolitical tensions have resulted in this, and also, you know, if we rewind the clock back to 2020 when we started these investigations, obviously COVID kicked off ransomware incidents in a very high way. So there's a few kind of macro trends here that we can go over, but yeah, that's a kind of another reason as to why these numbers are growing in the way that they are.
Awesome. Thanks, Christian, for the context. Different perspectives on the same data points that are all helpful to understand why and what to do, right? So let's jump into the next topic. And we have two areas of topics, let's put in a way. So first is the threat landscape, right? The evolution of the threat landscape, different indicators, different examples, and then we'll jump into the ransomware side of this research. In this case, what you are seeing here are specific examples of the threat actors that are known to have been targeting SAP applications in different scenarios. And we see different types of threat actors here, right? We see from highly sophisticated APTs that are highly resourced, going through financially motivated, like Fin7 or Fin13, including also cyber criminal groups like Cobalt Spider. But if we want to dig a little bit deeper in terms of what they do, well, these threat actors that target SAP applications exploit SAP vulnerabilities. They exploit payment systems, and they exfiltrate financial statements, or they perform financial fraud over extended periods of time. So these are all ways these threat actors have found to profit and really benefit out of compromising these applications and incorporating these applications as part of their campaigns. So these are just four examples of these. There are many other threat actors that are also targeting these type of applications. And again, as I mentioned at the beginning, the spectrum of potential types of threat actors is really large. And we've seen across the entire spectrum examples of threat actors that are targeting these applications. So these have the knowledge, they have the understanding of risks, weaknesses to these applications, but also they have the understanding of how these applications operate to be able to perform things like exfiltrating sensitive data or performing fraud through these applications. Christian, anything from your side on this?
Yeah, an interesting aspect about this to me was if we just take these four, right? APT-10, Fin7, Cobalt Spider, Fin13, they are all quite different and they have very different motivations. And so to give you two examples, right? APT-10 is the was aspect of it and shows the kind of testament of how long these SAP vulnerabilities have been targeted. They're typically espionage related, right? Intellectual property theft. It's a Chinese nation state, kind of plugs into what the Chinese nation state TTPs are. Right, that kind of targeting of specific SAP applications to be able to get from an espionage standpoint, not necessarily an e-crime standpoint. It shows the, again, ubiquity of SAP applications being targeted for a very variety of different reasons. Again, because of typically what SAP applications are holding. Cobalt Spider, right? They started in around 2018 targeting point of sale systems. Some even they're typically Russian, and they'd even start targeting some point of sale systems within Russia, which is just kind of an interesting fact of a Russian group targeting organizations within Russia, which was quite bold at the time. And then they kind of branched off to, if any of you remember, DarkSide ransomware, which. Then became, which actually forked from Black Matter ransomware. So just to give you kind of those two different viewpoints of like APT-10 and Cobalt Spider, two very, very different groups who are using, again, this same targeting pathway to accomplish very different motivations, right? So it's not like it's not like the specific SAP applications are primarily targeted by hacktivists only or e-crime only or nation state only. They do act as a bit of a vector for kind of the whole gamut of threat actors with a multitude of different motivations.
Awesome. Thank you, Christian. And I mentioned at the highlights side that there's been an increase on the mentions, right? If we navigate through the petabytes of information that that Flashpoint provides and do very specific searches around SAP technology, SAP information, SAP exploits, or SAP vulnerabilities, well, this grew 490%. And this is how it's been evolving in a year-over-year perspective, both from an exploits of vulnerabilities as well as from a SAP Cloud and Web Services. And I wanted to mention here that while we focused on a very specific time frame of 2020 to 2023, we have been able to see Q1, for example, data points on 2024, and the trend is no different, right? So we believe that this trend is going to continue growing, it's going to continue increasing, and that's why it's important to understand that this is not a point in time exercise or a point in time anomaly. This is something that we believe is going to continue growing as well. Yeah, all right, back to you, Christian.
Yeah. So as JP just mentioned, right, we, as you were talking about kind of high level numbers of threat actors kind of talking about different SAP systems, right? So as you can see here, you know, so I'll read these just to make it easy. So yeah, I'm just analyzing the POC, see what sort of HTTP request needs to be made to exploit the vulnerability. Looks like it's just a request that resembles, and then it mentions a pathway for showing an SAP application, right? On the top right, just been published, certain CVE, it's a SAP recon flaw. Anyone up to work with this, right? So this is the kind of data points that JP was just talking about. And so we can actually kind of put our finger on the pulse of the conversations of these different threat actors to see what they're talking about, therefore to be able to see kind of what is being targeted, right? So this is the view of, again, the conversations of who they're going to target, how they're going to target it. And as you can see here, as from the top right, as an example, right, CVE 2020-62887, we can see exactly what it is. And then to combine that with what JP was saying of their Anopsys's incident response, we can actually kind of match the two and see what's being talked about, who are they targeting, and then on the Anopsys side, they can kind of verify that, right? So it does come from both sides. The reason why I'm kind of building the picture in this way is the amount that we are tracking these different threat actors and seeing the spike in how much they're talking about, it is a very good way to actually analyze and kind of put a pin on the exact kind of threat landscape of SAP systems, because what threat actors are talking about, what they're responding to, right? They're not just doing it to have fun, right? These are hard to reach criminal forums, very high fidelity. On the bottom right there, we actually managed to get a screenshot of the actual criminal forum site there. The other three are screenshots from the Flashpoint platform, but right, these are all just kind of four different unique examples of those high level data points that JP was talking about earlier.
Absolutely. Thank you, Christian. And to complement an individual on that, you are seeing different types of vulnerabilities on different types of discussions. This is a sprinkle of the different data points we are able to observe, right? Threat actors inviting others to work on specific vulnerability, advertising that, hey, there's this POC available, and different scenarios all about SAP vulnerabilities and SAP exploits. And these are all from different sites. Some sites are, I would say majority of these sites are very hard to get into, and this information is very hard to get into, right? These are forums where cyber criminals discuss what they are doing and talk to peers, right?
Yeah, these are, you know, hard to reach cyber criminal forums that, you know, you can't just kind of, you know, Google or go on Tor and navigate to. So you need to sometimes like pay to play, prove to play. It takes a lot of kind of persistent effort to get into and maintain access to some of these criminal forums, which is a testament to the kind of, let's call it the fidelity of threat actor, if you will, of these different forms, right? You have to be quite good at what you do to be a part of some of these ECRM forms.
Awesome.
Yeah, so this is a really interesting aspect of this, to be able to kind of track and show the increase of just the amount of the kind of price tag that some e-crime actors are putting out there to be able to get specific the marketplace for SAP exploits. If you think about kind of the e-crime world, right, it's so much of the kill chain has been kind of commoditized, right? So the easy example would be kind of ransomware as a service here, right? No longer does somebody need to build their own ransomware to be able to use it. They can kind of get that off the shelf ransomware that's being offered and split the profits after a ransom is made, right? That's just kind of an easy example of what has been made easier over the e-crime within the e-crime community. Soliciting exploits is, I wouldn't say it's newer, but the kind of the economy of offering payments for specific exploits is definitely growing. $250,000 is a lot, right? So I would say kind of the meat of it is more around the $25,000 range. $250,000 is a huge amount. So when there's that kind of large of an upfront payment and offer, what you can take from that is that the e-crime actor is very confident in kind of what they are going to get back from that. Not just the kind of, let's call it, difficulty of the ask, because so much of the e-crime world is based on that, like, return on investment, not just money, but also time. So they want to know that what they are targeting, they want to have a high degree of confidence that what they are targeting is going to bring back information, or not bring back, is going to allow them to access sensitive information by targeting these SAP systems, so that once they get it, and they threaten to post it on the different ransomware sites, there's a higher likelihood that that payment is going to be made. So you can think about these numbers as almost pricing how important SAP targeting SAP systems is. And as you can see here, you know, $250,000, that's quite a lot, right? The average ransomware payment, last time I checked, is about just under $400,000. So as you can imagine, right, the kind of, again, return on investment they would expect from $250,000 ask is would assume it to be quite high.
Awesome. Thank you. Yeah, absolutely. I don't think there's much I can complement here. It's something that showcases the importance to be able to compromise these systems.
Yeah, so I thought this was such a great example. I'm just going to read this. So, good day, ladies and gentlemen. I'll be brief. We managed to gain access to four networks of different companies through CVE 2020-6287 Recon, which is Recon, and then CVE 2020-6207 SAP Solution Manager. After Googling, I found out that one of them was like a restaurant chain and the other was a telephone company. What to do about it? Sell? How much? Encrypt? Right? So the big thing that you can take from here, right, they're just targeting these systems, and then they find out who it is later, right? So this is clearly e-crime. This is not a targeted nation state type of approach. But you can see, like, they just, again, because of the ubiquity of so many SAP solutions out there, and again, what kind of the data that's being held, the return on investment they get from targeting these different SAP solutions is quite high. The other aspect I want to talk about is, you know, the what to do about it, you know, sell, ? How much, and encrypt, right? That is a reference to the kind of data exfiltration aspect of it and the actual, like, encryption ransomware aspect of it, right? So most of the kind of ransomware world right now is actually stealing and selling data. It's not as much of the encrypting as it used to be. It's mostly going towards the stealing and selling that data. So again, the kind of fidelity of data that's being housed by SAP solutions is, and those that are using SAP systems, makes it more likely that an organization is going to pay. And so that goes into kind of the selling it aspect.
Awesome. Thanks, Christian. Yeah, just to compliment a little bit on this, on prior slides, we discussed different types of threat actors, some very sophisticated, different actors that know SAP and know what it means, and they target these systems. In this case, this is a completely different scenario, right? This, as Christian was mentioning, an e-crime scenario, an actor that managed to break into these networks and these organizations by chance he saw, hey, this is SAP, what should I do? And he's asking his peers recommendation and all of the potential scenarios. And in the same thread, he is getting recommendations about, hey, you should do this, you can wait, you can further compromise and provide different scenarios. So we believe this is a good example of, okay, yet another different type of threat, not someone with experience on SAP, but still targeting these applications and still gonna create a lot of pain for the organization because this actor wants to profit and make money out of this compromise. So now we're going to be transitioning a little bit into the ransomware aspect of this research. We discussed the evolution of the threat landscape over the past 4 years and saw examples of threat actors, compromises, discussions on different forums and different sites. But what about ransomware? Well, if we focus on the ransomware aspect of this, we've seen a 400% growth rate on the incidents involving SAP and SAP data from 2021 to 2023. And this is just by looking at those sites where ransomware gangs advertise their compromise and they say, I was able to access this or that data, including SAP data, SAP backups, information coming straight from SAP. But it's not just those incidents. The vulnerabilities are being used as part of ransomware campaigns. On the left side of the screen, you can see a screenshot of the CISA catalog of known exploited vulnerabilities, which by the end of last year introduced another attribute, which is known to be used in ransomware campaign. And you can see an example of a vulnerability affecting SAP being actively exploited because it's on the catalog of known exploited vulnerabilities, but also being used as part of ransomware campaigns. So these type of vulnerabilities, SAP vulnerabilities, are being used as part of ransomware campaigns as well. Christian, back to you.
Sure. So I'll focus on the right-hand side here, right? So as you can see, by acquiring this company's confidential data, including in full SAP data, you will get access to valuable information that can help you grow your business. You will learn about the company's strategy, strengths, weaknesses, opportunities, and threats. You will also discover the needs, pain points, motivations, and behavior of its customers. You'll be able to do this information to create better products and services, target the right prospects, craft compelling sales pitches, and close more deals, right? So what this is in reference to is this is a ransomware blog. So what I mean by that is there's all these different, you know, as I mentioned, there's data data encryption and data exfiltration. The data exfiltration comes with the ransomware site. Some people call it dedicated leak sites. We call it ransomware sites here at Flashpoint. Basically, it's where ransomware groups will post the information that they've stolen from the organization if the organization doesn't actually make the payment. So this is just an example of this ransomware group that's actually posting that. And this kind of information, right? It's meant to be available to download from anyone, right? That's part of the threat of the data exfiltration. They put it on these sites, and anyone can go and download it. The important thing in this example, right, is just the kind of detriment that it can have to the different different customers. That's why I wanted to point out the customers bit. And so it just shows that kind of the information, when it's stolen, it can have just much more kind of carry on effects of kind of how it can hurt an organization with that type of information that is being stolen. And again, the reason why these SAP systems are being targeted in the way that they are is because of the sensitivity of the data that sometimes they house. Therefore, it's more likely that organizations are going to make those payments, which goes back to that return on investment mindset that I keep bringing from the e-crime actor, right? They don't want to spend a lot of time for targeting an organization that might not make the payment. So this is just an example of of that of what we were talking about beforehand.
Absolutely, and 100% on this. If we look at how the ransomware gang is advertising this information, they have a complete understanding of the value of data coming from SAP, the type of information that is there, and how it can provide, for example, an advantage to a competitor, right? These are just a couple of examples of ransomware blogs where these groups are highlighting the data that they were able to obtain from the organization. Continuing with the ransomware topic, I mentioned from the catalog of non-exploited vulnerabilities that CISA is also showing SAP vulnerabilities that are being actively used in ransomware. Well, there are vulnerabilities that are being actively used in ransomware and also actively being used in campaigns. We wanted to really make it actionable to you. So these are the vulnerabilities that are being actively exploited, actively being used in ransomware, discussed also in these cyber criminal forums and these by these threat actors. So if there are vulnerabilities that we would need to prioritize, we can start with this list. As you can see, we are not talking about new vulnerabilities, but we all know how hard it is for some organizations to really catch up with the patching process, to really prioritize patching these applications, because some of these need downtime and need extensive testing. So if we are in a situation where we may be lagging on the security patching side, these are some of the vulnerabilities that we would need to prioritize for sure. The ransomware risk column, is coming straight from the Flashpoint platform. Comparing these vulnerabilities in their structure and nature to vulnerabilities that are being used in ransomware. So these vulnerabilities have high ransomware risk and some of these are actively being used, but all of them have security nodes, right? There's a patch available for these that you can go and implement. There's additional information from SAP in this case that provides around the patch, how to implement and all of that. But also the support for discovering these vulnerabilities, identifying if these vulnerabilities are affecting your systems or not, has been on the Onapsis platform for quite a long time, either on patch day or even prior to it, as a zero-day protection for the ones that were discovered by Onapsis, which also correlates to the most critical ones. As you know, the Onapsis Research Labs is doing a lot of research around potential vulnerabilities, and we work hand by hand with the broad security response team of SAP to be able to come up with patches and solutions and also raising awareness. Anything from your side, Christian, on this?
No, I don't think I have anything additional to add to this.
All right. Good. So we want to make sure we have enough time for questions. So wrapping up, we have some recommendations and resources. From the Onapsis side, you get access to this threat intelligence and these briefings early on as well. The Onapsis platform provides coverage on these vulnerabilities and anything that comes up second Tuesday of every month. The vulnerabilities that are being released in the same cadence as Microsoft, Apple, and many other vendors which embrace patching on the second Tuesday of the month. We also provide the threat intel page, which is basically the ability to see if the vulnerabilities are affecting your system as well as if the vulnerabilities are being exploited on the system with a single click. So all of our customers have this coverage and this support to be able to understand if they are affected, if there's activity, notable events, incidents on their systems. And to make it also more visual, I'm going to show you a video of what's called the OnAPSIS Threat Intel Center, which is basically a combination of vulnerability assessment and threat detection, all focusing on the vulnerabilities and the risks that are more timely or more important today to address. So what you're looking at on the screen is a video of the Threat Intel Center that is basically the ability to see those vulnerabilities with a context on it. And this is coming from the OnAPSIS and Flashpoint threat report that we released, that was released last week, incorporating all the vulnerabilities that are there. The different CVEs that are being discussed, hey, are these CVEs present on my system or not? Are notable events or incidents coming from the logs and the continuous monitoring component of OnAPSIS? So it was a quick video. I just wanted to highlight this capability that we have and we provide, basically contextualized in the threat report that we released. Next steps, there's a full report that we created and we released, so you can download it. I believe both from the OnAPSIS side and the Flashpoint side, Threat Intel Center customers can review the status on their systems. The Assess customers can request a free trial of the Threat Intel Center for 45 days. You can talk to OnAPSIS experts at any event that is up and coming. You can subscribe to the Defenders Digest. That's a periodic release that we have, and we both on Twitter and LinkedIn, we put out there a lot of content around vulnerabilities and risks to ERP applications with strong focus on SAP. So from the OnAPSIS side, we have a lot of resources that you can access to. And from the Flashpoint side, you have a lot of resources also on the Flashpoint website as well. Some additional resources related to this research. Well, you have some CIS alerts around activity and ransomware for the Black Cat side. You have a lot of resources from CIS around ransomware. Prior reports we did on Threat Intel for ERP applications. Resources that we did together with SAP as well on ransomware for SAP, and also research around active cyber attacks for SAP applications. So there are many different resources that you can access as well following up from this research that we encourage you to take a look at. And with that, we have some time for questions. Cecile, I'll pass it over to you.
Yeah, perfect. Thank you very much Christian and JP. We have actually a bunch of questions, so I try to combine them. And let's start with the first one, or actually two combined. What makes the listed CVEs relevant, and are those the most important ones for SAP patches?
Good. Yeah, I see there are many questions related to that. So these are the CVEs that as part of this research analyzing the threat landscape over the past four years and given many data points, these are the CVEs that we should look at first and foremost, right? Of course, we have second Tuesday of every month, we have a new list of vulnerabilities to go and patch on different technologies, on different systems, Java-based, ABAP-based, kernel vulnerabilities, business objects. There are many building blocks and components that are part of the SAP landscapes. But if we want to prioritize, if we have been falling behind on patches and we want to prioritize something, this is the list that we should start with. After that, of course, we need a vulnerability management program. We need to address and prioritize patches based on their criticality, their CVSS, exposure, depending on the exposure of our systems. there are many different factors that we can weigh into a prioritization process. But if we want to think about the most important ones, those are the ones that we should be looking at. Do we have other questions, Cecile?
I can.
Yes. There is actually one for Christian. Can you touch on how Flashpoint addresses ransomware from both a platform and, services standpoint?
Yeah, sure. So there's a variety of things that we do with ransomware. So I'll touch on three just super quickly. The first one is I want to point out, if we can go back to that, or if you can think back to that slide of an organization posting or a threat group posting kind of what they had stolen from the SAP applications on that ransomware site. And then we talked about kind of the customers that were affected. So Flashpoint, given our collections, we can monitor through all the different ransomware posts. And so given the kind of modern threat landscape of how many organizations are stealing or how many threat groups are stealing information from different organizations and posting it publicly, that set up this whole new threat landscape for organizations where not only do they need to defend themselves, but they need to see if any of their information has been stolen from a third party of theirs. So we actually, because the fidelity of our data and we're looking through what was stolen and what is posted to these different ransomware sites, organizations actually use Flashpoint to monitor for if a third party of theirs was breached and their information was in that that ransomware post. So that's one kind of unique thing that we can do. We, of course, also take in technical indicators that help kind of from a technical intelligence perspective defend against ransomware. And then the third one is we actually have a ransomware negotiation services. It's called TR2, Threat Readiness and Response, where organizations use us. We hire previous FBI negotiators to basically, if your organization is hit with ransomware, we are the ones that go in and actually talk to the threat actors to be able to help not just mitigate what's happening, but also drastically decrease the price that you would possibly have to pay if you would need to pay it. So we're kind of the professionals that step in after the lights are blinking red to help you kind of deal with the fallout of a ransomware deployment.
Thank you. Looking at the next one, how long is the average time in months or years companies are missing patches on an up-to-date system? Is it realistic that a 2-year-old SAP vulnerability can be abused?
That's a great question, and it can lead to a lot of discussions. You would be surprised the time it takes some organizations to really catch up with patches. In most cases, an organization that has a proper program to address vulnerabilities already address all of these risks. But we have seen cases where organizations are still affected by many of these vulnerabilities. You know that when you need to patch an SAP application, depending on the type of patch, if it's kernel, ABAP, Java, if it's a critical component, a basis component, like a foundational element. So depending on the nature of the patch, that may require higher or lower time window, may require more or less testing and regression. So it involves a lot of business processes. So you want to make sure that your business can operate after implementing some of those patches. But all in all, I don't want to discourage organizations from applying patches. All I want to say is really, we should definitely stay on top of patches and have a proper program in place to address these. But still, we know many organizations are falling behind on many of the critical patches.
Okay, going to the next. are these vulnerabilities exploited only on internet-facing systems?
No. So these vulnerabilities are being exploited, period, on many of the conversations, on many of the discussions, on many of the data points that we got. We haven't seen any indicator of this is just for internet-facing systems. Many of these threats, many of these conversations, many of these actors are targeting systems that they were able to compromise prior to it. So, of course, probability of exploitation is higher when you have a system that is internet-facing, because when there's an exploit, when there's a vulnerability that is critical, and threat actors start building exploits on top of it, chances are that that system is going to be exploited faster. But we have seen this also on internal systems. And we've seen reports talking about the vulnerabilities, the time to exploit vulnerabilities, and threat actors also leverage all vulnerabilities because those are still present on systems, right? So yes, probability is higher for internet-facing systems, but it's not limited to it.
Okay, and I would say, last question, how long does it take after SAP Patch Day reported vulnerabilities are actually abused with exploits?
Well, it really depends on the vulnerability, the nature of the vulnerability. We can talk about best and worst case, right? So best case for us as defenders is like there's no patch, there's no knowledge, there's no threat activity around the vulnerability since the patch was released. But we cannot count on that, right? So worst case, we have seen vulnerabilities being exploited or actively looked for and unexploited afterwards, hours after the patch was released. I would say it depends on if the vulnerability is, for example, a web vulnerability, and based exploitation is based on HTTP, and it's a critical one, meaning that it allows for full compromise to the system, we'll see activity very soon. It's not a full compromise vulnerability, we may see this combined with others, or even very later on the, let's say, in time. So it may give us more time to patch, but we should consider worst case and try to apply those patches as soon as possible, especially important for the critical ones, right?
Great. And that brings us to time. For any other questions in the chat, we will be reaching out to you individually to get those answered. Also, just a brief reminder to everyone listening that this session has been recorded and the link to the recording will be emailed to you afterwards. And with that, thanks again to Christian and JP and to everyone for joining this briefing today. Have a good day. Thank you. Bye.
Thank you.
Bye. Thank you.